Hello guys, welcome back to another episode of the Booty and Well Show, and today we have Sarah Dokowicz on. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things, covering a lot of topics about women advice for a woman in entrepreneurship, how to deal with failures, and etc. So stay tuned, it's going to be great. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, awesome. Well, my name is Sarah, and I am a video coach / YouTube strategist. So I basically help a lot of entrepreneurs leverage the platform that is YouTube to get organic traffic for their businesses and to basically build their email list from there as well. So I've kind of grown up with video in my, like, a camera in my hand. So video is very like second nature to me. And I just find the whole idea of like storytelling and the power of video to just be such a fascinating thing. And now, especially with everything or a lot of things going online, video is so crucial and so needed. And I think especially YouTube as a platform for people to actually use and part of their strategy is a little bit underused, especially in the people like, or the entrepreneurs that I know of, like they know of the platform, but they're like, it's like too much work, or like, I don't know how to use this thing. So I help people kind of break it down to actually show them that, you know, with the right kind of way to approach a platform like that, that they could definitely help their business and potentially create a business that works for them in the long run.
Wow. So that's interesting. So you mentioned evergreen content when we were talking. So can you explain what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. So evergreen content is that kind of piece of content that it's either, you know, maybe someone or a group of people asking the same question over and over again, or something that is very searchable pretty much like all year round, or even like, you know, during a specific time of the holidays and things like that. But it's basically content that people are always going to come back to time and time again that doesn't have like an expiry date. Something like, you know, if you're doing more things for a TikTok or like a challenge and things like that, that's more content that's very like for today, and basically tomorrow will probably like not have any importance the next day or, you know, the next few days. Whereas the evergreen content is that content that people can access at any moment and can be found and then also recycled, if you will. Instead of you having to constantly repeat yourself on through the same kinds of questions and things like that. So yeah, it's definitely a really important part, I think, of anybody's kind of business to have that kind of content that could just like be generating in the background.
Okay. Yeah, I totally agree with that. So now you said you help entrepreneurs leverage by using YouTube. So how did you know that's what you wanted to do? How'd you know you had this?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because, like, you know, I've always found video fascinating, right? And I think for myself as a creative, because, you know, I used to do a lot of like brand content, brand videography and editing and things like that. And while that is good and, you know, it's fun, I love to create for other people and things like that, I also feel like there's just so much more that I could do when it comes to helping people on a bigger scale, not just like one client at a time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, having studied the platform and watching how other creators do it and just seeing like the process that just goes into creating content for a platform like that, I personally find it really fascinating. I've had some videos of my own that have like been able to get found through processes of like, you know, keyword research. The whole thing, the whole concept of YouTube is to research before you record and actually find those pieces of content that people are looking for and how you can actually step in and answer those questions for people and bring them value. Yeah, for me, it's just more of that internal feeling of like, okay, I know how to do video. I know how to do the techie side of video, but it's like, that is almost like not enough these days because you need to still be able to get found, right? So yeah. I went down more of that rabbit hole of like, okay, how does this whole like machine work and how can I like help others spread their message, but then also, you know, grow their business on that kind of platform, incorporating what I already know with video. So that's, yeah, it's kind of where it all kind of came together for me.
Wow. So that's great. So now, do you have a mentorship or do you just give all this content out on YouTube?
Yeah. So right now I'm actually establishing like a group coaching for this because I feel like the one-on-ones are great. And I think that's more of like an extension of what I do, because I think in a group setting, people can learn so much from each other. And I think when it comes to, you know, learning new platforms, like, I'm not going to say it's always fun and it's not always a fast process. And I think being in a group environment where it's not just information, but helping people implement that to, you know, start moving and gaining momentum, because I think there's so many courses out there, right? Yeah. Things like, nobody needs another course. Everybody needs to start just like implementing things. So that's where like my group coaching approach comes to, where it's like, I give the group the tools, but then also we get together on a call, and then also the homework. It's like you've got to be in it and do the work if you want to start seeing the results. And so that's what I'm doing at the moment, and that's what I'm really focusing on. But again, if you know, eventually people want to get more, you know, closer one-on-one interaction, then that's like the next step. So I just really focus on like that group. Yeah.
So now, what actually made you start to get into entrepreneurship and start a business?
You know what? It's such a great question, because I think like I've never really considered myself an entrepreneur. It's more just like, I don't want to work a 9-to-5. So let's be real. Cause like, and like, honestly, I've never worked a 9-to-5, and that might sound weird to some people. And I never went to like a proper college or anything. I went to music college because, you know, I'm just a very big all-around creative who just loves to help others get their stories and their messages out there. I just feel like I don't want to say it naturally came to me, but it was kind of like a means of survival for me. It's just like, well, I got a choice. I could either go work for someone else, or I can like try and figure stuff out for myself. Yeah. And I'm not saying that like I have everything together, because I don't think anybody will ever have it all together at any stage, because there's always learning curves. But yeah, it's definitely been an interesting just journey of like meeting other people and serving other people, and just kind of learning to adapt with everything as well, because I feel like every day I'm adapting to something new, which is also fun, but you know, very unpredictable as well. So you have to be willing to let that uncertainty sometimes like fuel you instead of like paralyze you. So I'm very used to that, and still, you know, always working on the internal side of things, because that's got a lot to do with like your internal compass as well. So been getting really deep into the spiritual, the mindset work to stay grounded through it all, because everything, like nothing is forever. That's what we just all have to realize. Like not even a stable job is forever. So I rather take that chance on myself than to put myself in a so-called stable job, you know?
Okay. So now, how long have you been in the entrepreneurship world, or how long have you had your business?
Yeah. So as far as, cause I was doing more like production. So I was like working as like a production company for different brands and businesses in like the food space, beauty space. And I've been doing that in itself for about 4 years, but now as far as like coaching, it's been a year. So still very fresh, but it's definitely been a nice, like different approach, because I just feel like there's an ability to reach more people instead of just literally like one kind of client, one focus, and knowing that I could actually like help other people be doing the same things. So
So now, what kept you motivated for so long? What kept you going?
That's so interesting. What keeps me motivated? I think what keeps me motivated the most is just being able to, not even like fighting for my freedom, but like knowing that if I can do the groundwork now and like the structure, because at the end of the day, I find like a lot of entrepreneurs think, oh my God, structure means that you're like tied down to stuff, but structure actually like equates to freedom. So once you can get all your like systems down and structure, you know, there is a path to freedom that could be significantly sooner than one, as if you were to, you know, just stay in that comfort zone and that stableness and all of that. So that's a big motivator for me, because I think you know, you want to design your life around your business rather than the other way around.
Yes, totally right. Totally right. So now, how important do you believe building a team is in a business?
Yeah, great question. And I mean, I believe it's very important, especially if you want to move on from that like freelancerish kind of or solopreneur life to more of the team and like building something greater than yourself. And because I'm in a mastermind right now too, and we talk about this all the time about build your team. And it sounds much easier than what it could actually be, because in order to have a good team players, you need to know what it is that you want. What are you looking for in a person? And like, what do you want them to actually help you with? And how's process going to look? Are you going to train them, or you're going to allow them to have some freedom to you know, have their own creativity? And that's really where like a lot of leadership comes into place, And a lot of people, I think, shy away from thinking that a leader is like a skill that they either have or that they don't have. But it's like, it's a form of being. Like, you got to step into being that. And I think it's just a process of like learning to let go of the reins and understanding that if you want to go far, like you're going to have more people to help you. And you know that there are amazing people out there. It's just a matter of finding them.
All right. Yeah, I totally agree with that one. So now, what do you believe is the most important skill to have as an entrepreneur or a business owner, and why?
Yeah, these are great questions. Oh my God. I love them. The most important skill, you said?
Yeah, skill.
Skill? I honestly think, like, at the end of the day, I think you really need to have some freaking resilience, because especially coming from a performer background too, and like an audition kind of background where it's like, you know, you're pretty much rejected like every second day. And like, I think a person that's never gone through something like that as an entrepreneur, which is like, you're gonna go through it, but if you're not used to that and haven't been exposed to it, it can hurt a different way. And like, don't get me wrong, even like in the creative musician kind of days where I was doing a lot of that, like, yeah, it still kind of hurt, but you kind of brush it off. And when you learn to understand that, like, first of all, no failure is really a failure, it's just a learning lesson, but then also just knowing how to just get back up. And just if you have the vision, and if you have, you know, this desire inside of you to create that thing that you're wanting to create. And sometimes it might not turn out the way that you envision it. It could turn out better, but maybe it's, you know, the universe is directing you in a different way. Like, you just have to have the resilience to keep going. Cause I feel like before somebody hits that peak, a lot of people drop off, and it's just like, well, you were so freaking close, but you just missed it, you know?
Yeah. So now, how would you tell someone to deal with failures? How would you deal with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, failure is just, you know, it's not a nice feeling, because, you know, nobody wants to feel bad. Yeah. And at the end of the day, failure is like any kind of emotion. It's kind of the emotion that you actually allow yourself to give it. So it's like, are you going to give failure the emotion that, oh my God, you suck, like, this isn't going to work again, like, oh my God, what are you doing? Or is it like, oh, okay, this obviously just didn't work. Like, what didn't work? How can we maybe try it a different way? And yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, you're allowed to feel sad. If it makes you feel sad, just feel sad. And I think that's what a lot of people tend to skip, that it's just like, either they go one way and feel so sad that it's like they just don't pick themselves up again, or they feel it and it's like, yeah, this is like, it sucks. Like, it really sucks. But then what you do next is what's important, asking yourself those questions. And I think that's kind of how I've always dealt with failure. And honestly, just like really finding what the lesson is in it, because I'm a huge believer in the universe, and you know, the universe doesn't lie. It always puts you, you know, in the position or in the place that you're supposed to be at that time. And you're just here to kind of understand, like, what is it that I was supposed to learn in this? And when you start to ask those kinds of questions, it doesn't even feel like a failure. It's just like, okay, well, let's do it another way or whatever. So
yeah,
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, that's how I deal with it anyway.
Okay, so now, do you believe religion plays a part, a big part in entrepreneurship?
You know what, that's a great question. And I feel like I was born and raised a Roman Catholic. Mm-hmm. I don't really like go to church and stuff anymore, but I do believe that there are like higher powers for sure that guide us. And, you know, I'm more of a universe believer and like, yeah. You know, everything at the end day, there is an energy and whatever you put energy into that's part of like what helps you create, I believe. Because yeah. If you do put energy into your God or to universe or to whatever, that is your guiding star. And I think this is just my opinion, but I think everybody should have some sort of higher belief or higher vibration mm-hmm. that is guiding them along the way, whether it is like an external thing or even like this internal thing, if that makes sense. So mm-hmm. I believe it can. And I believe it has for many people. So, but I'm not saying that it necessarily has to be for everybody, but yeah. I've seen like it has helped many people.
Okay. So now what advice would you give a woman entrepreneur?
Ah, that's so good. As a woman entrepreneur, because I feel like a lot of women tend to kind of play small, right? Because mm-hmm. we've kind of been taught to just like tiptoe a little bit yeah. and like, you know, sit back because the man is, you know, is a man's world, right? And I think having that kind of modesty about us, and especially like I've experienced this too as an Australian, because our culture is a little bit different than yeah. America. Like we're very modest people. Like if someone said, ask us questions like, are you good at this? We'll be like, yeah, I mean, we're okay. Like we're all right. Whereas Americans are like, yeah, I'm freaking great at this thing. And I think it's like really just like that difference of like really stepping into your gifts and into your greatness and being unapologetic about it. Because I mm-hmm. find especially too, like with men in the entrepreneurial world, like they are not apologetic whatsoever. And I just find it so fascinating because I'm just like, huh, like we need to be more like that and like mm-hmm. really just be certain of ourselves. So I would definitely say those things for sure.
Okay, so now do you believe we are given the same advantage as a male entrepreneur?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think the same advantage. I mean, yes and no. I feel like women, I mean, I'm hoping now that the playing field is kind of evening out. Mm-hmm. And I do think that like, you know, there are so many women that have created so many amazing things. And whether or not being a woman is an advantage, I think it can in certain areas, depending on like what kind of industry it is. And the energy that a female can bring to it. I'm not saying that like all women are necessarily fully in their feminine, because some females are more masculine, but having that like feminine touch on a lot of things can bring, I don't know, can make things seem a little more, I don't know, just like intuitive, trusting, like
yeah.
beautiful in its own kind of way, if that makes energy. Sense. Yeah, so I definitely think that there are advantages for women. However, I think still we need to like work on making it more equal, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. So thank you so much. That's all the questions I have for you today.
Oh, thank you so much. They were amazing questions. I really appreciate them.
Thank you. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, I have my own podcast. It's called For the Love of Thriving. Wow. And what we talk about is what it means to have a thriving life. So that's my question for you. What does having a thriving life mean to you?
Well, having something that you truly care about and going after and spending time with your loved ones and living life to the fullest, pretty much. That's what I believe it is.
I love that. That's amazing. I always love asking that question because it's like there's so many different answers, but also like fairly similar too. So I love your spin on it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
All right. So you have a podcast. What is that about?
Yeah. So For the Love of Thriving, it's basically it's like a resource for entrepreneurs as well to kind of nourish their mind in the realms of personal development, self-care and entrepreneurship. So, because I believe it just, everything kind of ties in together. It's not just about that, you know, masculine entrepreneur. I'm a very big believer in the mindset behind business and in your wellness behind business, because if you don't have your health, you don't have any wealth, you know. Yeah, so we definitely cover a lot of topics to do with like mindset, your money mindset, and how to, you know, nourish your own body so you can become that successful, you know, entrepreneur or human that you just envision yourself to be. So we have a lot of great conversations on there too, a lot of people that we interview, and then I do a lot of solos as well.
All right, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Okay. We'll be right back.